Please open your Bibles to Psalm 1. In our time that we have this evening, I'd like for us to look at Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And before we do, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your word, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us tonight, that you would, Father, give me the ability to speak clearly and boldly proclaiming your truth, Lord, that you would be glorified, that we would be encouraged and edified, and Lord, that we would grow in our knowledge and our love and our faith in you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Many times you'll hear parents of adult children, when their children are making decisions that they're not entirely happy with, they'll say, well, at least they're happy. And they may be on to something. Spurgeon said, the very highest degree of happiness is blessedness. So the question is, who is the blessed man? How does our culture answer this question? Is it found in the one who has attained the American dream? Historically, the dream originated in the mystique regarding the frontier life. As the royal governor of Virginia noted in 1774, the Americans forever imagine a lands further off are still better than those upon which they are already settled. He added that if they attain paradise, they would move on if they heard of a better place farther west. Though the idea of the American dream has evolved, the reality that we are chasing after wind has not. I suppose if you came to this country for the first time, it would not take long to discover what we perceive as happiness or who the truly blessed are. It's all around us. We see it in the movies, TVs, magazines. They all look so happy and perfect. The promises are there. If you look a certain way, if you eat the right food, you wear the right clothes, the right hairstyle, the perfect skin, the whitest teeth, the winning team, the right college, the dream job, perfect partner, the best kids, nicest home, stylish car, the coolest friends, the right political party. And I suppose the list could go on and on. We might have a different list. Obedient kids, faithful church attendance, ministry, daily reading of my Bible. Certainly we would see these things in our second list as being good and profitable. We would rightly identify them as blessings and some of the things on the first list. But this is not how Psalm 1 identifies the blessed man. My desire is for us to look at verses 1 through 3 and begin to open this up that we might better understand who the blessed man really is. How does the God of Word identify him? I have three main headings tonight. Verse 1, we see the way he lives. Verse 2, we see what he loves. In verse 3, we see his abundant life. Starting in verse 1, the way he lives. He is someone who steers clear. He is blessed by what he avoids. the counsel of the wicked, the path of sinners, the seat of scoffers. These are the ways of the wicked. The way is sinful rebellion against God. This man is blessed by keeping away from this way. It's sin that the blessed man avoids. This sin we see in Genesis 6, 5 and 6, before the judgment of the flood. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Ephesians 5, 6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, these sins, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, the wicked. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." The blessed man is not a partaker. The way of the wicked is death. The blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord, we see in verse 2, sees the warning signs. The wicked, the sinners, the scoffers, and he goes the other direction. It's like the railroad tracks. They put up these signs warning, stay off the tracks. But every now and then, you hear of someone who is run over by a train. What happened? Why did they ignore the warning signs? At first, they step on the track, maybe to look both ways and see no train coming. They begin to relax. Train isn't coming. They forget the warnings. They have their back to the train. It's coming down the path. It's barreling down. The sound is following it. I would say without warning, but by ignoring every warning, they're just taken out. The fool says it's no big deal. The fool scoffs at sin. The blessed man avoids sin and the devastating consequences. And we see also in verse 1, it's comprehensive in the way in which he avoids sin. As a firefighter, I would take every opportunity before I would go into the building to follow the guidelines for safety. And that would mean I would put on all my safety equipment. My turnout pants and coat and helmet and gloves and boots and face piece and hood and my bottle and for my air and looking into that hazardous environment, making sure I have everything on me before I enter. The implications of leaving just one article of protective clothing behind are obvious. I would be exposed to that hazardous environment. Falling debris, toxic smoke, extreme heat. The blessed man takes every precaution in the comprehensive way he avoids sin. It says, like donning his protective equipment, he looks into that hazardous environment. He does not walk. He does not sit. He does not stand concerning the way of the wicked. It says he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not see eye to eye with the world. In fact, there is no agreement here. Who do we look to for advice? What do we read, listen to, watch? What are we exposing ourselves to? Psalm 119, 115 says, "Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of God." There is no compromise for the blessed man. I will not be influenced by bad company. I will not be hindered from living a faithful and obedient life to God. That's the problem. We are so easily influenced. What advice will you receive from those who, professing to be wise, become fools, who exchange the glory of God for idols, who are filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice? They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. What advice? What advice? The blessed man doesn't go with the flow. He doesn't look to the world to see what's acceptable in this or that situation. His concern always, always is how God looks at it. He does not walk in their counsel. There is no agreement. And he does not stand in the path of sinners. He won't accompany them. The blessed man will not plant his feet on this path. The way is broad that leads to destruction, and most are on that path. You can indulge the little sins on this path. You can round off the corners of sin on this path. He will not accompany them in this way. He knows the danger here. Proverbs 7, 7 through 10. And I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner. And he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. The blessed man has the sense to avoid the company of sinners. Spurgeon said for the blessed man, he avoids sinners except as far as he deals with them in civil matters, in common courtesies and duties of life. They are not bosom friends. He would never dream of being unequally yoked in marriage with them. Shuns their company all he can. Their ways, example, words, he avoids. He does not walk in their counsel, nor stand in their path, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He will not side with them. The scoffer, so callous to sin, plants his rear end in contrast to the planting we will see done by the Lord himself in verse 3. This one plants himself in the position of a fool. Proverbs 14:9, he mocks. He mocks at sin. He sets his mouth against the holy, righteous word of God. In a sense, he becomes a spokesperson for rebellion against God. The blessed man will have nothing to do with the ungodly. The blessed man cuts off the avenues leading to sin. He does not walk, stand, or sit. He is blessed. He is blessed by what he avoids. In verse 2, we see what the blessed man loves. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. A contrast between what he disdains in verse 1 and what he delights in, and what he delights in verse 2. He is careful not to put his big toe in the current of this world with fear of being swept away. He wants no part of sin, but his delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not that he owns a Bible. It's not that he reads his Bible. It's not that he listens to sermons. He delights in the Word of God. One said Scripture is a garden set with knots and flowers. A godly man delights to walk in this garden and sweetly solace himself. He loves every branch and part of the Word. This is life for the believer. He loves the full counsel of God. He loves the Scriptures describing his duties, that he might live a faithful, obedient life to God. He loves the warnings, the rebuke of his Heavenly Father, protecting him from the devastating effects of sin. Like the child in the kitchen, near the hot stove. Don't touch! This will burn your hand if you touch it. In fact, don't even get near the stove. He loves the promises found in God's word. Psalm 94:19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. This is where he goes in a storm. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the blessed man's treasure. This is the word of God. It's not like any other word. This is his pearl of great value. Christian in Pilgrim's Progress wasn't looking for a better life. He was looking for life. And he found it. He found it. And here also we see his blessed preoccupation. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what? He meditates. He meditates day and night. Thomas Watson, the godly man's picture, says, a godly man shows his love to God, the word written, by frequently meditating on it. He not only has a few transient thoughts, but leaves his mind steeping in the scripture. By meditation, he sucks from the sweet flower and ruminates on holy truths in his mind. What fills our minds and hearts night and day as we go about the busyness of life? If not filled with the pure milk of the word, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb, what will they be filled with? For the blessed man, he declares his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness by night. The blessed man's last thoughts at night as he lays his head on his pillow to sleep, and his the first thoughts as he opens his eyes in the morning, these wonderful truths found in the Word of God. Our hearts are revealed in our preoccupation with the things we love, right? It's what we talk about, think about, dream about. For the world, it's the passing pleasures of the world. For the blessed man, it's the holy and righteous Word of God and all its glorious realities. The blessed man says, even as Jeremiah, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. And now we move on to the third place. Verse 3. Here we see his abundant life. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. We see here, he is divinely planted. This is a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture. Even as we think of that arid climate in Israel, rocky soil, dry and dusty, in the midst of this desert, we see this amazing picture, this tree just flourishing amongst the thorns and thistles. How did it get there? How did this tree get there? Well, it says it was planted. It was planted. We have a vegetable garden at home, and we struggle to grow anything close to edible. We want tomatoes, but without going down to the nursery and buying the already grown tomato plant, I guess, and we bring it home and we put it in the ground and we water it and nurture it, and sometimes we get tomatoes. But we have to do that. We have to plant that tomato plant in order to have tomatoes. This tree in verse 3 is there because it was planted. The blessed man is like this tree, divinely planted. The Lord in his mercy, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. This is a beautiful picture of the sovereign work of God, giving life, right? The blessed man has life, the finely planted and so richly supplied. There is nothing lacking for the blessed man. There is nothing lacking for the believer. By streams of water or canals, From his fullness we have received grace upon grace, each stream filled with God's grace, bringing all the blessings and promises contained in his word. And we see it's also a productive life, don't we? The blessed man, divinely planted, richly supplied, and seasonably productive. This life is a fruit-bearing life. But those who are sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold, Mark 4:20. In contrast to having nothing to do with the word of God, they hear it and obey it. The blessed man lives in obedience to the word of God, bearing fruit for his glory. And he's constantly preserving. Its leaf does not wither. The blessed man who delights in the word of God hears the word of God when it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He hears the word of God when it says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Like that tree that never withers but stands just full of life. The blessed man has this glorious confidence in the will of God, that all who have been chosen will come to him and none will be lost. Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident," Paul says, "of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." What a glorious reality for the believer. It says, "In whatever he does, he prospers." The blessed man treasures the word and the will of God for his life, knowing that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is not simply outward prosperity, though we do enjoy temporal blessings, don't we? God causes all things. The blessed man knows that the trials he faces are purposed by God for his good and God's glory. Romans 5:3, he can rejoice. He can rejoice in suffering. He can rejoice knowing that suffering will prosper him. These trials produce spiritual benefits for the blessed man. God is conforming him to the image of his Son. This is a glorious delight for the blessed man. One day being rid of this flesh and its remaining sin. Whatever he does in obedience to the will of God, the blessed man will prosper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our temporal situation is. Listen, some of the greenest trees and the choicest fruits come from believers, the dear saints, during their most difficult trials, don't they? As they reveal their heart attachment to Christ and they grow more and more in his likeness. That's a glorious reality. It's only glorious gain for the believer. Do you take every precaution to avoid sin? Do you delight in the word of God? Delight. Do you have only a few transient thoughts? Or do you leave your mind steeping on the glorious truths found here? We are so weak, but he is faithful. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it to for thy courts above. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let us pray. Dear Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you, in your mercy, when we were dead in our sins, when we had no part of you, Father, you sent your Son. Father, he lived and died and rose again that we might have life. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for life. Lord, we thank you for all these mercies daily that you pour out on us, Lord. We thank you for the eternal realities, our hope that is sure in Christ, Lord. We love you and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.